This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. In American politics, the common wisdom is third parties always fail. But that's not stopping Tony Mazzocchi. He's calling for the creation of a Labor Party, and he's organized a group called Labor Party Advocates to form it. They plan to hold a convention next June to create the party. Mazzocchi is a lifelong labor activist. He's the former vice president of the Oil, Chemical, and Atomic Workers International Union and now serves as presidential assistant. Mazzocchi was working closely with Karen Silkwood at the time of her death. He was also one of the most forceful advocates of the Occupational Safety and Health Act, OSHA. Now he fears that labor will never again be the force it once was, unless it forms its own party. He says the labor movement has lost influence with the Democratic Party. The Democrats, he says, take labor's money and give little in return. I asked him if he thinks labor has lost power because the labor movement has shrunk. The AFL-CIO represented 35% of the workforce in 1955, but only represents 16% today.
Labor's lost influence because of its own embrace, and I'm talking about the bureaucracy of the labor movement, its embrace of the Democratic Party, rather than exploring an alternative to the Democratic Party. The Democrats take labor for granted because they tell them very candidly, you have no other place to go. And that's why a labor party is necessary in order to demonstrate there is someplace else to go. We're choosing an alternative path.
Of course, a lot of people within labor think that you're making a big mistake in trying to start a third party because third parties never win in America. And also there's the criticism that not only would the Labor Party lose, but it would drain votes away from the Democrats and help ensure a Republican victory, which would be, many people in labor believe, would that a Republican victory would be worse than a Democratic victory.
Well, that's because some people have a very narrow definition of what the word politics means. And politics, as they see it, means voting in the electoral process. Our conception of a labor party does not hold that electing people is our fundamental task. Our fundamental task is creating a new agenda, reshaping the national debate, and to create a party that's ideologically driven. We reject the electoral route initially. We want to become a movement again. The only gains that people have made in this nation, working people, have been through movements, civil rights movement, the labor movement, the environmental movement. Legislation has only been a reaction to the existence of these movements. What this effort is all about is the recreation of a new movement and the rejuvenation of a culture that once existed, a working class culture in this country. So part of this task in creating a party, a class party, we make no bones about it. This is going to be a party of the working class. We'll break down a nonsense that we're the middle class, we're the working class, and we have class interests. We want to, we've looked at the model of the right wing. They are ideologically driven. They aren't prone to compromise. They have dictated the political cadence in this country, and both parties have reacted to that particular cadence. We need to do the same thing.
You say you want a new agenda for labor. Give me some specifics of what should be on this new agenda.
We need to develop an agenda that addresses the future of work in this nation. This is the first generation of Americans who understand totally that their children will have it worse than they have had it. So the agenda will include, will be basically based on an economic pedestal. We have to readdress the economic injustice that exists in our society. Programs like a wage for every American, a wage or a job. The right to decent jobs at decent wages with decent conditions. These are rapidly disappearing. If you look at, we've lost over 4.5 million decent paying jobs over in just a 6-year period. So our work is cut out for us as far as an agenda.
You say you want a working class culture. I'm not sure what working class means anymore. There was a time when working class was understood to mean people who worked in factories, people who did manual labor. A lot of those factory jobs don't exist anymore. What does working class mean?
Well, that's an ill definition of working class. When I grew up, working class meant anyone who worked for a wage and wasn't a manager or a small business person. Whether you're a white-collar or a blue-collar person, it never was meant to just encompass blue-collar workers. An office clerical worker is a member of the working class. They work for someone. And that's a large group of people. In a culture that existed when I came into this workforce, you understood the value of organization, of unions. You supported unions. In those days, you had workers had the right to throw a picket line up in front of an establishment that might not have been on strike but was handling goods made by strikers. That was outlawed under Taft-Hartley. People would refuse to cross picket lines when that culture existed. If you lived in a neighborhood, it was a working class neighborhood, and you scabbed on a strike, you probably could not come back to that neighborhood. Scabs had to be imported. People understood the nature of their class, and they knew the nature of those who were benefiting at their expense. That's been muddied over recent years due to a whole host of circumstances.
My guest is Tony Mazzocchi. He's trying to create a labor party. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Tony Mazzocchi is my guest, and he's a former vice president of the Oil, Chemical, and Atomic Workers Union. He's the founder of Labor Party Advocates, which is trying to create a new party, a labor party. I'm interested in how you first got involved in labor. Did your father work in a union or your mother?
Well, my father was a trade unionist, the Amalgamated Clothing Workers. He was an immigrant, came here in 1900, deeply involved in many labor struggles, was pro-Roosevelt to his core, and learned about labor unions around a dinner table during the Depression. I myself became active in the labor movement when I left the Army at the end of World War II and went to work in the automobile industry and then ultimately in the chemical industry. And
what kind of work were you doing in the chemical industry?
Oh, just ordinary work of mixing large groups of chemicals one to another, not knowing what they were, and mixing them under directions of someone else, and did various jobs. But I became a union official 2 or 3 years into work, and basically worked full-time for the union ever since then.
So when you started working with chemicals, I believe that was in the cosmetics industry?
Yes. Just bulk chemicals and making a product that looked harmless.
Did you have any idea what was in the chemicals?
No, not at all. Most of us didn't. Most of us always assumed that whatever was in these chemicals was safe to handle because we thought someone would not let us work with substances that were dangerous.
So when did you start thinking that the vats of chemicals you were working with might actually be harmful and you wanted to know more about them?
Well, I think basically that occurred in the very early 60s when in the 50s, I thought most of the problems were in the radioactive industries because we represented nuclear workers in my own union. But then when I became legislative director for my union in Washington, I began to hear complaints from workers all over the country about particular substances in their workplace. And I saw this as a trend, and what I thought were only isolated instances of problems, I began to see it as a collective trend that no workplace was safe. No one really knew what they worked with, and no one actually measured the amount of toxics that were introduced into the workplace in any meaningful way. And there weren't any federal laws that addressed these problems, and the state laws were ridiculous to start with. So that began the agitation for a national law.
You were one of the key people behind the scenes who worked to pass OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Act, that was signed into effect by President Nixon in 1970. It set safety standards for workers and provided for plant inspections and for enforcement. What did you want out of that?
We wanted a workplace free of hazard, and the law provides that. Its fundamental tenet is the workplace shall be free of all hazard. And by the way, you've cited a clear example of why a movement is necessary rather than embracing the existing political parties. It was under Lyndon Johnson and the Democrats. We couldn't even get that law out of committee. We got it out of committee during the Nixon era and got it passed, not because Nixon was a friend of working people, but because people were in motion in movements, the environmental movement and reinvigorated labor movement who came to life around this issue.
You were one of the people who worked hardest getting Congress to pass OSHA. What, if anything, are you doing now that Congress is considering changing it?
Well, I think Congress, that fight is got to be approached differently. We've got to go back to doing what we did in the 60s by movement work back in the communities rather than lobbying here in this town. And this effort to create a new political party is part of that effort.
You know, there's so many different groups that have thought of a third party, but they've often thought of a third party that would unite a lot of different groups. You know, the Rainbow Coalition idea, for instance, where you take a lot of people who felt disenfranchised for one reason or another and you build a party around them or build a movement around them. You know, and you know, I think the National Organization for Women has considered this kind of thing, too. But why start a labor party as opposed to a party that would be have a broader definition?
Well, we think a labor party is the broadest definition. It's a class party. It incorporates all the people you're talking about. Look, the most integrated places in America are workplaces. Those are the most integrated places. Where do you find the most people of color? You find them working. You find them as members of unions. Some of the top leadership doesn't reflect that. But where the people are, that's where you see the average American are in workplaces. So we have our conceptualization is the broadest conceptualization, incorporating a hell of a lot of people. Now, we have to define what our agenda is. And once it's defined, to work with others who support this particular movement. And we're not building it around an individual. We've looked at third-party efforts in this country, and most of them collapsed after an election. The person that they were supporting did not receive an appropriate amount of votes. They disappeared the very next day. We're going beyond that. Someday, we may run people for elective office, but they will have to grow out of a movement. The movement will have to define who they are and who they're responsible to, rather than creating some charismatic character who is supposed to lead us down this golden path. We reject that notion.
So if you're not going to run candidates, how do you hope to influence the electoral process?
Well, just look at what the right wing has done over the past 25 years by not running candidates. Who have emerged as candidates have grown out of that. They have a sharp ideological program. And by the way, they've influenced people in both parties to adopt their agenda. They've been persistent. They've been principled in around what they stand for, whether we agree with it or not. They have a take-no-prisoner strategy. They demand of their elected officials. You see that happening now. No compromise around the positions that we disagree with, but at least we understand they're ideological. They're driven. They've built a movement that's reshaped the political cadence in this country.
But now why do you need a party when you've got the AFL-CIO whose job it is in part to try to influence the political process so that labor is represented?
There are a lot of people who don't consider themselves part of a labor organization. You've got to have a broader definition of what politics are. But a political movement that defines politics as an agenda that allows people to identify with it, it addresses every single problem that Americans confront in a way that's understandable to them. And it says, look, here's where we are, and there's those who benefit by our diminished standard of living. And you're going to have to be in a fight with those folks. And you need an instrument in which to fight with, a political party.
You have held office within the Oil, Chemical, and Atomic Workers Union, and you ran for president a couple of times, narrowly lost. Do you ever find yourself wishing that you had run for electoral office?
Well, I made that mistake one time in 1964. I had the nomination to run for Congress in Long Island, and I bowed out because the party felt that because of my position on nuclear weapons testing, I was opposed to it, thought I would hurt the party in Long Island, and I withdrew, and a substitute was introduced for me. Lester Wolf actually went on to be a congressperson. I'm glad I never chose that route. At one time, I thought I could do something there, but I realized that that would have been a comfortable, nonsensical life where I wouldn't have really been able to impact, had an impact. I think I've been able to do more in the position I've been in.
Tony Mazzocchi, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Tony Mazzocchi is the founder of Labor Party Advocates. They plan to hold a convention next June to form a Labor Party. This is Fresh Air.